everybody, and praise the Lord. There's just something about the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Good to see you this morning, each and every one. If you'll stand at this time, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service, and then we're going to have a congregational number. We do have a lot of folks to pray for this morning. There's a number of our congregation who are sick and at home, and we need to pray for them as well as many people in our community. A lot of friends, a lot of neighbors that need a touch from the Lord this morning. God knows and sees everything this morning, but if you have a request of prayer, just lift your hand to the one and letting the Lord know that you're praying for that person. And let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to love you and to thank you, God, to exalt your name. Father, we're so thankful for this day, this opportunity to come into your house to worship. We pray, God, the moving of your Spirit, God, upon every part of this service. God, anoint every word spoken, every song sung. Let it be for your honor and for your glory. And Father, we do remember those who stand in need of prayer this morning. Many are sick and afflicted. Father, many are at home this morning. And we pray, God, for a mighty move of your Spirit. Touch them, anoint them, heal and strengthen them, God, even as we pray. Father, we remember those who are suffering in the hospitals, the nursing homes. Some have even lost loved ones during this time. Father, we pray for your strength and comfort as well. Now, Lord, just lead us and guide us, God, as you would have us to go this morning. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll look to you, dear Lord, in giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you have your hymnal this morning, turn to page 393. When we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Well, when we all get to
wonderful heaven's going to be, a place prepared by Jesus Christ himself. We do appreciate very much each and every one of you have come this morning. We certainly hope that you've had a wonderful Christmas time to share with the family and the friends and all, and it's been a glorious time with your loved ones, and it's good to be here in church this morning to give praise and honor to the one who made it all possible, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'd like to receive our Sunday morning tithe and offering at this time. We could get an usher or two to come forward. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you give unto Him this morning. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this offering this morning? Amen. Sister Karen and Sister Kylie to sing. I believe the title is "He's As Small As I Am." Right. And then Sister Linda Peters, would you have a song after the girls sing?
Would you, Sister Linda, would you and Susan sing "I've Come Too Far to Look Back"?
Beside me, he fights my battles, and he guides me, yes, he loves me. just want to say how much I love the Lord this morning, and I am so thankful to be in His house. He has watched over us and kept us and brought us so far this year.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. I think I say this about every time we sing this song, but it really doesn't matter how long we've been serving the Lord. From this day forward could be our first day of the rest of our life in serving God. So no matter how long you've been serving Him, just know that you've come too far. You've come way too far to turn around now. Y'all worship the Lord. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All my treasures I used to love have all faded from
back.
us through, it still takes a wise man. Lord, the first time you came here, there was no one to receive you, just a stable for a place to lay your head. And on a dark winter's evening, with a star to mark your presence, there came wise men to worship, and they were kneeling by your bed. And it still takes a wise man to bow before the King, to worship and adore you more than any earthly thing. We offer up a sacrifice of praise for you today. And it still takes a wise man to pray. Deep. And with great anticipation, Lord, we wait for your returning, for the bridegroom to come and take his bride away. So I'll tend unto my labor, for the fields are white and ready for the harvest.
Don't you?
Amen.
Here today only by the grace of God and the prayers of many folks. I remember hearing my grandmother pray for all of her children and her grandchildren. And I thank God for those prayers. And those prayers still are ringing in my mind today, and thanking God for the prayers that He's answered, and by faith, the prayers that He is going to answer. Has anyone here today been the recipient of a prayer answered by God? Yes. Just give Him praise this morning. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So good to see each and every one of you. Hope that you have a wondrous Christmas. I hope everything that was good, family well. So many people can't say that today. There's a lot of sickness. But we serve a mighty big God, a God that is able, amen, to do those things that you and I could never, ever do. So thank you for being here with us this morning. We just want to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning, as God has impressed a message upon my heart this week, and I pray that it will be uplifting. pray that it will be a blessing to the hearers. We thank those who are viewing by live stream today. Many of our congregation are sick, in fact, and our thoughts and prayers go out to each and every one of them this morning. But nevertheless, this morning, we're certainly thankful that you have gathered here in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles and would like to go along with us, we're going to be reading from the book of Joel in the second chapter, verses 15 through verse number 18. From the book of the prophet Joel in the second chapter, beginning with verse number 15. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. The writer says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then," everybody say, "then, will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful, God, for those who have gathered here today to hear it. Father, I humbly pray this morning, God, that you would use this vessel to speak through. God, anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this mind. God, just speak to us that you would have us to hear this morning. God, that it might produce growth and edification into our spirit. Father, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will and learn to rely on you and by faith put our trust in you. We know that you are the great I am. Lord, we know, God, that you are with us even today. Through adversity, through troubles, and even through sickness and affliction. God, we put our faith and trust in you this morning, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, Now is the Time. Now is the Time. Every once in a while in my life, there's things that arise that necessitates an urgency in my attention. There's things that are unprepared that we have to handle. This morning, in fact, we received a call that the downstairs was flooding because of a leak in the baptismal drainage. That was certainly not on our agenda. It was not planned. But yet, there was a sense of urgency that immediately rose it to a top of our priority list to be attended to. This week, as I was seeking the Lord, and sometimes when I seek the Lord, I'm very silent. I've learned sometimes when I talk too much, I don't listen as well. But I was listening intently to the voice of God. He began to speak to me in a sense of urgency. And I want to convey that urgency to the church this morning and to those who may be viewing. I feel within my heart that there is a sense of urgency in our land today. An urgency that we do put our faith and trust in God. And that we do those things that are pleasing unto Him. This is not a message for the new year, even though we're approaching the new year. But God impressed upon my heart, this is a message for this year. This is a message for this time. This is a message for now. I often think how people get along in this world that do not have a relationship with the Lord. As I am very dependent on Him, and I thank God for the saving grace. I thank God that He called me to a life of repentance and that He filled me with His Spirit and that He forgave my sins. And I thank God for the confidence in knowing not that I have done anything in my life that would warrant me going to heaven other than accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But with that fact being known, I know that I can lay my head on my pillow tonight, and if I don't see the dawning of another day, I know where my destination lies. And that is in a place prepared by Jesus Christ. I do not say that boastingly. I say that thankfully for what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. But it behooves me to see so many people today that have not made that preparation. And we find that this is not the only generation that has pushed things back or pushed things forward with the idea that they will attend to it at a later date. There's three things that I want to cover this morning in this message. Now is the time. I want to cover that now is the time to pray. Now is the time to prepare. Finally, now is the time to produce. Let me begin with now is the time to pray. There's probably not a Christian alive today that doesn't know how to pray. But I believe that we need to all incorporate a more prayerful life in the day and hour that you and I are living in. There's things today happening that only prayer can change. How many believes that prayer can still change sickness? How many believes that prayer can still make the lame whole? How many believes that prayer can still open blinded eyes? How many believes that prayer can still save a generation if they will come to the knowledge of Christ? Prayer has in fact always worked. It's worked for generations. It's worked from the very beginning of time. And it works so well sometimes that the church begins to slack up on it because it has worked so well. The generation here that the prophet Joel was talking about. In the very first verse, I believe he says, again, to repeat, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Zion being a type and shadow of the church. If there was ever a time to blow a wake-up call, it's today. It's the day and hour that you and I are living in. It's the circumstances that we are facing. Now is the time to blow that trumpet, to make sure that everyone that we know, all of our loved ones, all of our relatives, we ourselves are ready to meet Jesus when he comes. As I mentioned earlier, the Lord impressed upon my heart that this is not a New Year's message. Many New Year's messages are full of promises and resolutions and things that we intend to do. But the new year is about a week away. God revealed to me, not revealed to me, he reminded me. It was no revelation. He reminded me that he created the world in a week's time. And may I remind you that the world could be destroyed in a week's time or even less. And if that catastrophe does not happen, not a person here or listening today has the promise of tomorrow. Or in fact, even the next breath. There's no guarantee that I will leave this building. There's certainly not a guarantee that I'll see the dawning of another day. That's the reason that I am calling for such an urgency for the church to get dedicated, consecrated, committed to serving God. Next year will take care of itself. How are we going to finish this year? There's still a week's time. As I said, the world was created in a week's time. There's still a week's time for us to be committed and dedicated to God and to give him all that we have to give him. Jesus gave his all for us. Could we not, in fact, give him more of ourselves, more of our time, more of our talent, more of our prayer? Prayer is something that the world needs today, terribly. There are those that discount prayer. There's those that do not believe in prayer. There's those who draw the very breath of God that say there is no God. They need prayer. Those that spitefully use you need prayer. Many who work around you need prayer. Some of our own family members need prayer. As a pastor, some of our church members need prayer. Some of our church members need to get their priorities straight. They need to know and understand that God is to be reverenced, God is to be sought, and God is to be put first in our lives, regardless of anything else. Everything else falls into place after we put God where He needs to be. The best way that I found to be nearer to God, even though His Spirit lies within us, is to pray to Him. Jesus was, in fact, that perfect example. And when tragedy faced Him, when seemingly all of His closest followers had left Him, He was alone in the garden, He found it a necessity to pray to God. Even though the Spirit within Him was perfect, even though the Spirit within Him was the Spirit of God, His flesh was facing something He had never faced before. We don't find where Jesus went seeking pity. We don't find where He tried to run from His responsibilities. We find that, in fact, most of His ministry, He continued to preach what His destiny would be. Many of His disciples did not understand it because He taught in parables. But if you go back and read and look at His parables, they were pointing to the death and the resurrection and the salvation through Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And now the moment had come. In fact, the very night was facing Him. And Jesus did what us Holy Ghost-filled people should learn to do. He sought a place of prayer. He found it necessary. And this is hard sometimes, but sometimes it is necessary. He separated Himself from some of His closest people, and He found a place where there would be no disturbance, where there would be no interference. And He fell on His knees and He began to pray. The Bible says His prayers were so intent that His preparation or His sweat became as great drops of blood. He was earnestly praying, "Not my will, but let my will coincide with your will, Father." And those wonderful words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Moses, during his time of leadership, often, constantly, had to go to prayer and ask for God's guidance. And God had assured him that "I will be with you." In fact, our lesson this morning was about the great I Am. How many is thankful that God is an I Am God? He still is. He always was, and He always will be. We find many of the great patriarchs, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elisha, and Elijah, often had to pray before God. Godly men, men that were dedicated in their entire life, was nothing more than worshiping and serving Jehovah God, but found it necessary to pray. If in fact we want a relationship with God, it is not a relationship of convenience. It is a relationship, amen, that is ongoing. If God will be with us always, we should be with God always as well. Seeking Him, loving Him, adoring Him, and praying to Him. Many of us have adopted the idea we only pray when we need God's attention. Can I tell you, if that's the only time that you pray, you're missing out on so many great opportunities to just converse with Almighty God. I do not want a day to go by that I haven't spoken to Him, and certainly need Him speaking to me. If in fact you plan next year to pray more, can I encourage you to end this year praying more? This message is not one of planning. This message is one of applying. One of doing now what we intend to do. Many new years are starting off with, God, I'm going to do more things for you. You got a week, church. We got a week, church. How many people can you reach in a week? How many souls can be changed in a week? How many healings? How many blessings? How many anointings can still be done? Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. We're wasting precious time if we are intending to get closer to God, if we are intending to have a greater prayer life. I believe that everything that we do should be seasoned with prayer. I would venture to say that every decision that we make should be seasoned with prayer. Thank God for my raising. Thank God for my parents and my grandparents. But my parents were two people that would not make any life decision without, first of all, consulting God. I've told this story time and time again. They had an opportunity to buy a business, a grocery store. My brother and I were pretty young at the time, and when this opportunity arose, my brother and I did not think at all about praying. We said, sign the papers, do it. Get it done. We were instantly thinking about all the wonderful candy and stuff that we could have access to. But my mom and dad not only thought about it, prayed about it, and asked God about it, but the little church in Rockmart that we were attending, they actually went up one Sunday morning with my brother and myself in tow. We thought the prayer, we thought the answer was apparent. We thought, no, this is a done deal. God, don't change their minds, you know. But they were praying for a decision. And God granted that decision and blessed them. And for 16 years, they ran and operated a store. But many of us are like my brother and myself. We already got the prayer answered before we give it God an opportunity to do it. We already know what we want. And I have found out since that that's not always what God wants. Prayer is something that needs to be done now. Prayer is something that needs to be done on a regular basis. Can I remind us that prayer is a holy and righteous act, not an act of habitual doing or check off my duty list that I prayed today. It's an honor. Brother Thomas mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. The Lord wants us to come to Him so much that He tore the veil down and gave us access to come to Him anytime. Ask yourself this. Have you ever found God too busy? Have you ever found God preoccupied? Have you ever found a busy signal when you dialed up the Lord? No, I can answer that for you. He's always there. Now is the time, church, to pray. Now is the time. If you're a prayer warrior, that's wonderful. You are to be commended and thank God for you. But I will assure you, every prayer warrior can increase their prayer life. We all need to pray more. Even when you don't have anything to pray for yourself, you pray for me. You pray for your brothers and sisters. You pray for those who have been stricken with sickness. You pray for our leaders. Whether you agree with them or not, they need our prayers. Our nation needs our prayers. And our family members need our prayers. Now is the time to pray. Joel said, gather the people together. The horn that was blown, the trumpet that was blown, was made possible many, many years prior to the prophet Joel. In fact, we find in Exodus, no, I believe it was Numbers, that God spoke to Moses. And He said, basically, get your silversmiths together and make two trumpets. Out of a single piece, beat it out and make two horns, two trumpets. And those horns were not for entertaining people. They had significant purpose. There were short blasts that would go on a single horn that would mean that the congregation would gather together at the door of the tabernacle. Somebody said, we need one of them trumpets today. They would gather whatever they were doing when they heard the short blast on the single horn. They knew to quit what they were doing and gather at the door of the tabernacle, because God was going to speak to them through Moses. There were also blasts that would let them know, even though you remember and understand that this was not just a few people. This was a great multitude of people, and their encampment covered a lot of acreage. So when they prepared to move and the cloud was ready to go, then there was a blast on the horn to let those on the outer camp know that it was time to get up, fold your tents, get your things ready. We're going to move. As a pastor, I would say we need one of those horns too. Church, it's time to get on the move. It's time to quit sitting around. It's time to get real with God. It's time to get serious with the Lord. It's time to get souls saved. And then finally, there was a long blast on the horn to let them know that the enemy was coming and to prepare for battle. Of all the three different blasts, I would say that the day and hour we're living in right now, the last one is the one that's most needful now. I don't think I have to tell you the enemy is approaching. The enemy is working. The enemy is not your neighbor. The enemy is not your government. The enemy is not the people that you work with. There is a spirit from the adversary today that's trying to attack the church, trying to attack families, trying to attack individuals. And now is the time that the church rises up and wakes up and begins to blow that trumpet of a warning to let people know that we got victory in Jesus. No matter what we face, no matter what comes before us, we got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that this morning, let him know it with a hand clap of praise. Victory in Jesus. So Joel used that analogy. It's time to blow the trumpet. To blow the trumpet together. The people sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Many times, preachers preach what the congregation needs to do. And I understand that. But listen what the prophet says that the priests and ministers need to do. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people. Ministry, whether you're a preacher, a teacher, a song leader, or whatever, we need to get souls on our heart and pray, God, spare their lives. Give them another opportunity. Love them to the altar. Fill them with your spirit. Save their soul. Between the porch and the altar, there should never be a service conducted that we don't pray for the lost souls. There should never be a prayer prayed by a loving saint of God that doesn't include, Lord, save the multitude of the unsaved people today. As we prepare for a new year, as we prepare to close this one out, as we prepare to live a closer, more dedicated life unto the Lord, we need to understand that in reality, there's people today that give no thought whatsoever to serving God, praying to the Lord, especially living for Him during this next year. And that breaks my heart. And it should sadden saints of God everywhere. We need to prepare. How do we prepare? We need to have a plan. And our plan is to serve God regardless. There is nothing that we face that should ever tear our faith down that we can't trust God. I know my granddaddy used to say, son, perilous times are going to come on this earth. You know what my granddaddy would say if he was alive today? Son, they're here. We are living in perilous times. There's peril almost everywhere around us. Different types of peril. But as saints of God, how many know that we can be prepared? We can be prepared for sickness. We can be prepared for annihilation. We can be prepared for bad times, terrible times. Because my faith is not in material things. My faith is in Almighty God. Amen. My faith is not in a full meal barrel. My faith is in a meal barrel that won't run out. Amen. My faith is not in a multitude of fishes and a multitude of bread. Because the God that I serve can take two loaves and five fishes and feed a multitude. The great God that I serve is able to sustain me through whatever we face if we are prepared with the armor that God has provided for us. Never leave home without it. Always carry the armor of God, armed with the breastplate, the helmet, the shoes, and finally the sword, the word of God. If you do prepare, prepare with the word of God. Prayer, certainly, but as we prepare, get to know the word of God. Know the promises, know the statutes, know the precepts, know what God's word says. He tells us that we will face bad times, but he also tells us, I won't leave you, nor I won't forsake you. So as we realize that now is the time, not only do we enter it with prayer and with preparation, but the Lord also instilled there's still time to produce. As long as we're breathing, there's time to produce. There's a saying that says, live for God like this is the last day on earth and work for him like you have an eternity to do so. It's not time to give up on this world. It's not time to give up on your loved ones, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. You should pray for them and pray for their salvation harder now than any other time in my life. I see the necessity. But we can still produce. Amen? We can still see loved ones saved. Can't we, Brother Keith? We can still see loved ones saved. Even at maybe the 11th hour. You know, Jesus told the parable of those that went to work in the field all day long and they received a just recompense. They received the amount of money. And then there was one that came in at the 11th hour, and he worked in the field as well. And he received the same payment as those that had worked all day. Now, Jesus wasn't teaching a lesson on payroll or whatever is just and right for people, but he was letting people know that in the kingdom of God, if in fact you do make it in the 11th hour, your reward will be just as great as those who have been working all day. Now, to man, that doesn't seem fair. But how many knows God is an equal opportunity employer? Amen. How many knows that there is no respecter of persons with him? That lets me know that if, in fact, you have lived a lifetime and you have not made a preparation, you have not accepted Jesus Christ, as long as you have breath, as long as you still have your mind, there's a chance, there's a hope that you can still be saved and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life. And if so, but also I would ask this, knowing the life of living for the Lord and the joys that it brings, why would we want a chance waiting until the very last hour to receive the Lord, when in fact we could have him living and abiding with us all our life? There is no greater life than relinquishing our spirit unto the Lord and being filled with his spirit. But we can still produce. I will assure you, and this is unfortunate, even today there are people right now that will not see the new year. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just facing reality. We know now, even before this sermon is concluded, there will be people losing their very last breath. There's hospitals now where people are on ventilators. There's situations. There's horrific accidents that happen even right now as we are here enjoying the blessings of God. Hopefully, that everyone who passes today is ready for eternity, ready to meet the judgment seat of God. What is unfortunate, maybe some died with the intentions of getting right with the Lord next year. A new beginning, a brand new day, a brand new start, a brand new year, forgetting the terrible things of this past, forgetting the failures of the past. But as I say again and again, we don't have that promise of tomorrow. That's the reason that now is the time. Brother Eddie, I want to read more for the Lord this year. Now is the time. Brother Eddie, I want to pray more than I've ever prayed before. Don't wait till January 1st. Do it now. Do it now. Pray, prepare, and we can still produce. Amen. There's still opportunities out there. There's still people in the grocery line with you, amen, that still need somebody to witness to them. There's still people walking the streets right now that need somebody to reach out to them and let them know that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that you might be saved. Do you know that there's a lot of people today, and it may be partly because of church, that they think they're not good enough to be saved. Church, if that's our fault, if we have conveyed to the population that they got to be goody, goody, goody to get saved, we have failed miserably. There is not a one of us here under the sound of my voice, saved or unsaved, that's good enough to get to heaven on our own merits. It takes the grace of God, and it takes the infilling of His Spirit. And I think somewhere along the line, we've conveyed the wrong message. We've conveyed, no, Jesus died for people just like you. And that's how much He loves you. Yeah, it's, what, December the 26th, right? It's not January 1st. It's still 2021. Can anybody lift their hand and say, you know what, in spite of everything, it's still been a blessed year? Thank God for those hands. Thank God for those hands. You know what that tells me? That, you know what, we got more to be thankful for than we do to grumble about. Amen. We got more to praise God for than we do to blame God for. But if you want to make a change, and if you want to do more for God, now is the time. Right now, this day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, when the Lord is in your spirit, and the love of God is wrapped around you, even on your most miserable condition of a day, you can still thank God and be happy for the fact that you know that you're born again. And I had an opportunity to pray with the young lady. And when we prayed, and after we prayed and read Scripture, and Brother Keith was there, and I'm not going to say anything that would embarrass her and all, but I told her, after we pray and after we read this Scripture and after you ask the Lord to come into your life and forgive you and fill you and save you, I said, I won't feel comfortable leaving here until you can look me in the eye and tell me everything is all right between me and God. And when you think about that, if we can't do that now, now is the time. If we can't look somebody in the eye and say, everything is all right between me and God. Now, there's a difference saying, everything I've done in my life is okay. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because everything I've done in my life ain't okay. That's the reason I had to come to the Lord. But because of His mercy, because of His grace, because of the infilling of His Spirit, I can look into the eyes of the Lord and say, Lord, everything is all right between me and You. And if You can't do that, now is the time. Now is the time, because we don't have tomorrow, the promise of tomorrow. And I hope and pray every one of you live to be 100 years plus. Because I'll be there before most of y'all will, if that's the case. But if the Lord delays his coming and he allows me to live, I certainly don't want to wait till my last breath to get things right with the Lord. Because now is the time. Would you repeat that with me now? Now is the time. May God bless you. I love you, and I don't just say that. I do love each and every one of you. And there is not a person in this whole world that I want to see left behind. I think heaven is big enough to be able to supply all the people of this world. But are we willing, as people of this world, to ask Jesus Christ to come into our life? Think about it. If you can think of one person today, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to ask you to mouth the words, but if you can think of one person in your life that you may be uncertain whether or not they're ready to meet the Lord, don't wait till next year. Now is the time to produce. Now is the time to share the love of God with them, to pray with them. Oh, Brother Eddie, that's embarrassing to have. Listen, it's time that we got past that. The most important thing is not whether we embarrass them, but whether or not they're ready to meet the Lord. Amen. I got embarrassed a lot before I came to the Lord. Almost every time I heard a message, I got embarrassed. I got embarrassed because of my ways, and a lot of time I hung my head and left. But thank God one night I couldn't. I got up out of the seat and I came down to an altar of repentance, and I found Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest thing that I've ever done in my life. And if you hadn't, now is the time. Would you stand? Thank you again for coming. I want to remind you tonight that we will not be having service tonight. I know there's still a lot of sickness. There's a lot of people trying to recover from Christmas, and this can be some family time. But that doesn't mean you can't pray, and that doesn't mean you can't read your Bible. In fact, I don't know of a better time to gather your family around and have a family devotion. But that's up to you. But if I was going to do it, now is the time to do it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if in fact you need prayer this morning, we would never dismiss the service without giving you an opportunity. This altar is always open. It's never closed. It's a place that if you'll come down, the elders of the church will pray with you, pray for you. Whether you need salvation, whether you need strength, whether you need guidance, whether you need healing for your body. Because if you do, now is the time. Now is the time. You've got loved ones here that will pray with you. If not, with every head still bowed, every eye closed, if you want this pastor to pray with you this week or for you this week, I won't come to you. Just lift your hand so I'll know that you need prayer. God bless those hands. I see them and God sees them. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. You have a wonderful and glorious and blessed day. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your precious word. We're so thankful for those who gathered here today. God, for the sweet spirit that we feel. It's just wonderful, God. We feel your holy presence. For these precious saints of God who have come on this Sunday morning to worship and adore you. And Father, I pray your blessing upon each and every one. Bless those who are listening or viewing today. If there's needs out there, if there's sicknesses, Father, I pray, God, that you would reach out to them now. And especially if someone is lost and undone and don't think anybody cares for them. Father, I pray that you would reach to their heart, tug on their heart's door, draw them to an altar of confession and repentance, and fill them with your love and your spirit. Lord, we ask you to go with us now and bless each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a glorious and wonderful day.